paperwork of getting, which is on page Memphis on base. '98. Oh, that would be a mistake. Hamagarish is Ishto. Some of the divorce is a wife. Varmalay said, I read Muter's Cholodom. You're permissible to. You got it now? Come on. Hamagarish is Ishto. So the divorce is a wife. Varmalay, he says to her, read Muter's Cholodom. You're permissible to all individuals, Elish Pliny, except for one. Rabbi Lezer Matila says this is a valid form of divorce. What do you do? You'd let him in. You take the get back from her. You give it to her again. You have to say to her the second time, permissible to anybody. In other words, that form of get, to give a get, which is valid for the entire world except for one person, is null and void. Rabbi Lezer says it's good, though. And the more it's going to ask why. So it says more, in Kasa B'socho, if you originally wrote in the get that condition, that you're mutter to the entire world except for one person, Afa Pisha Chazer Amacho, despite the fact that you went back and erased it, possibly the get remains invalid. Om Rabbi Eli, Rabbi Eli said, time of Rabbi Lezer. What is Rabbi Lezer's reason that he says he's going to be Megayrish a woman partially and still have her forbidden to one individual or more? Says she leaves your house and she goes and she affiliates, she's allowed to go marry somebody else. Now it doesn't say everybody else, but rather, even if she only is permissible now to one man, who she wasn't permissible to previously, that is considered to be a sufficient form of a get. Now, the Gemara comments, the obvious comment, Shmu also Rubami Mastisa. What the Gemara said is greater, more of a chiddush than the Mishnah. Masnisa Amara, because the Mishnah is talking about a case, Beshutra Lakael, she was made permissible for all people, Vasal all the Mechajis also for one individual. Shmu also Amara, the Gemara is talking about a case, Kshasa Lachol, where she was also upon everybody, Vitiru Allah the Mechon, the only word permitted her for one individual. So the Gemara is saying, even if she only permitted, according to Rabbi Lezer, if she only permitted to one individual in the entire world, that suffices already to be considered a get. You don't have to like it, but that's what Rabbi Lezer says, okay? Okay? No, we don't accept that. But it's Rabbi Lezer's opinion. My time with Rabbi Lezer, what's the logic of Rabbi Lezer? Here's the logic, which is not bad. Now, there are several ways of learning this logic. I'm going to give you my way, and then I'll give you a different way. Mamisa Materes, just like, I skip. Mata Rabbi Lezer, Misa Materes will get Mati. Logic of Rabbi Lezer, like Misa, death terminates a marriage, and get terminates a marriage. Mamisa Materes Mechza, it should be really Lemechza. Death can be a partial heter. For example, if she has Yovam, so she's not permitted to marry anybody other than the Yovam, right? So it's a partial heter by death. So get also, according to Rabbi Lezer, can also be get matir lemechza. A get can permit halfway. It doesn't have to permit necessarily all the way. The Shai Teretzor wants to change the gears here, which I was thought about actually before I saw him, before he saw it inside. He wants to change it to my time at the Rabbona. He wants to give logic to rabbis who say a get has to be total. And he wants to say, learn it like this. My time at the Rabbona, Misa Materes to get Matir, I went back. Mamisa Materes Umechatze. Mechatze means it severs relationships. You know, rends asunder. Marriage. Av keget, so to the get of Matiru Mechatze, that's completely rend asunder the marriage, and she has to remit it to everybody. Okay, and similarly, the next reason, which is given for Rabbanon, will also, according to Shara Teretz Yisrael, reverse the gears in a minute. But first, let's read the ways in front of us. My time of the Rabbanon, what's the logic of the rabbis? The Yotze Beis of Ochel Vaisel Yishacher. She leaves his house and she goes to somebody else's house, right? Maki hiki shavaya liitzio. There's a parallel joint between the divorce and marriage. Ma'avayos ein la'avaya etzel acher. Just like by marriage. She has no marriage. Once she's married, she has no possibility of marrying anybody else, right? The marriage bans her on the entire world. After Yitziyah, so Yitziyah is so that when she leaves the marriage, ein lo Yitziyah ela etzel acher. There's no such thing as a divorce, an exit, where she's not permitted to one person, right? That's not considered to be a valid divorce. Just like marriage asks her on everybody, so to get has to permit her to everybody. The language is not so glad, but we need a little bit of sledgehammer fit into the language. But that's the svara. Now again, the Shari Torah still changes the gear, so it says, my time of Rabbi Eliezer. What's the logic, Rabbi Eliezer? That there's a power drawn between marriage and divorce. Mava Yosef, just like when she gets married, Ein La Vaya, he reads it, Ein La Etzel Echad. She only gets married to one person, right? Avi Yitziyasa, so to when she gets divorced, Ein La Yitziya, Ein La Etzel Echad. She only even gave divorce just to permit her for one person would be enough. It's like marriage is one person, so the divorce is already divorced if it's the one person. That's how he learns, if you learn his logic, Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, now after Rabbi Eliezer died, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurknus, Rabbi Eliezer, Nichlus Arbas Kenim, four elders came in, Lashi Eldorav, to repudiate his words. Lashi Eldorav, Rabbi Eliezer. And these four is Canaan, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yosef Glili, and Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, those four. So it says, Rabbi Yoshua complained when they got together, you know, they're having this convention, the knock Rabbi Elazar convention. So Rabbi Yoshua says, it's not nice. You can't repudiate a lion after his death. In other words, where you're alive, you might be able to answer any of your questions. You know, you're big cowards to sit here now and try to repudiate Rabbi Eliezer, right? So it says, Rabbi Tarfon rejected Rabbi Eliezer with the following logic. If you said to a woman, you're permitted to all men, except for so-and-so. If she goes and marries so-and-so's brother. Okay? So-and-so's brother. Mace blow upon him, and so-and-so's brother dies without any kids. So what does she have to undergo? Yibum, but so-and-so is the person who was excluded from her divorce. Because if he's so-and-so, she's still an Eishes Ish, right? And that would be a case where Yibum would not be feasible. But if that's the case, Heichlu Misya Bemes, Hakshu Misya Bemes, she cannot, obviously, right? So learning to Masnam of Mashikosa, Alakosa Batara, it's this guy, by excluding somebody from the divorce, not making a condition against that which the Torah says. The Torah says whenever that any marriage should be susceptible to evil, right? And you are creating the possibility a marriage which is not susceptible to evil by creating an individual who's also upon this woman, one individual who could never be a yava. So that would be master mashkosa b'ter. Says more a boo boo boo. I skip first. Chomasa mashkosa b'ter to know about them. Anybody makes there's again that which the Torah says it's null and void. So says more again. That's no good. Says more me out if that was the case. Loisos ba'asochi. Should never be allowed to marry your niece. Why? Because if you die, then your wife is going to have to be misyabim to whom? To her own father. right, to your brother or his own father. And that, of course, doesn't work. Yet we never saw the Torah discourage marrying your niece. On the contrary, there are many chazal that encourage marrying your niece, right? So says Mar Rabbi Yisrael Boon. Rabbi Yisrael Boon said, Svoro Tama. I can give a svara for the reason, for a distinction here. Tama na Torah so love. There, the Torah said you can marry your niece, and at the same time, the Torah itself forbade Yibum with the father. However, Bramocha, but here, who Asarah love? Here, he creates a scenario which goes against the Torah. That we do not permit. Okay, that's a Ritafon's logic, that we do not permit him to create a scenario which goes against Torah's grain by creating a scenario which artificially no Yibum can be allowed. If it's natural, meaning that it's a result of family relationships, that's one thing. But we would not allow you to create a situation which Yibum cannot occur. Okay? Says more further, Hey, Rabbi Chanina, b'shem Rabbi Pinchos, Rabbi Pinchos asked, if this is a case which Yibum would be for, in fact, if you were able to create this artificial case, which Yibum would be forbidden because there's one person in the world who remains an Eishes Ish. So that's the case. Nisei Sheishes Reinoshim Kribulaz. The beginning of Yevamos says there are 15 women who cannot be, who pochos tsoroseim, who exempt their tsoros from Yibum because they are Arias. According to Rabbi Elazar, you can artificially create a 16th one. Why is the 16th one not mentioned beginning of Yevamos, right? You create a 16th one by saying the get is a get for everybody except for this one individual. So it says, that's not such a kasha. Ramana said, we already mentioned a reason just a few moments ago, which will fit for this, your question as well. Taman HaTorah Asura love, there, the Gemara and the Yevamos is discussing the ones the Torah creates upon an individual. Bramacha, but here, who Asura love, he's the one who creates it himself. Okay? Now, there's that, according to Gilead and Ephraim, there's a line missing here. And the line missing here is the line from the Tosafta, which would say, Umol Rabbi Lezer. We're going to discuss an interesting sheet of Rabbi Lezer, which is not brought down here in the Mishnah, but the Tosafta brings it down. Mor Rabbi Lezer, Lezer concedes, you don't have this inside. Shim this amon is garsho, shimuteres li nose lezesh nesro love. If the first guy said, I'm divorcing you for everybody except for Yanko. By the visit of Yanko, you're still my wife. Then, Yanko, of course, cannot marry her. One of the other 10 million Jews in the world marries her. Right, then that second husband dies or divorces her. After the second marriage is terminated, Rabbi Lezer says she can go and marry Yanko. Okay, Yanko is only forbidden for her immediately upon the termination of the first marriage, but upon the termination of a second marriage, she would not be forbidden to Yanko. Even Rabbi Lezer concedes that. Okay. Why? I might say it's an eternal condition.
With respect to him, she's still religious. How is it that she's allowed to marry
him? Well, she's only anxious to visit the uncle, not to see anybody else. Yeah, I don't think it's so bad. I think it is. The Gemara is actually going to have difficulty with this. So, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah boy. Now, I'll pick up the Gemara again. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question. He asks the question actually in logic. If he said to an individual, if an individual said to his wife, you're mutter to all people in the world except for Yanko, and then she went and married Beryl, Umeis, and then Beryl died. How does Beryl's death then permit her to go marry Yanko? Her first husband asked Yanko, why has Yanko now become mutter? Just because Beryl, the second husband, died. So says the Gemara, Milsi Amara. Nevertheless, the fact that Rabbi Lezer said that this case is okay. Now, after Beryl, the second husband, I should go marry Yanko, the third husband. The teacher of Hashem, he saw so that the death of the second husband, Big Erusha, it should be Big Erusha, together with the divorce of the first husband, and drop the vav of the next word, Matirin. They permit together, Bezeh, after the termination of the second marriage, Majlos Arishon, that which the first marriage forbade. So if the first marriage, second marriage become conglomerate entities, at the end of the second marriage, however, she's permitted to marry anybody who the first husband forbade her to marry at the termination of her first marriage. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Lo Amar Elishim Yisoso Gerushov. This is, let's make this clear. It's only upon the second husband's death that the first husband's divorce, no good clause in divorce, that the visitor Yankel doesn't work, falls off. Honey suing low. But what happened if the, if she just married a second husband without actually having yet gotten divorced or, without having gotten yet divorced or widowed. So, and then her second husband dies. And it happens to be that the second husband's brother is that Yanko to whom she was offered. So Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to say she can't go now and be Misa Bemis to Yanko. When does the second husband's death terminate the first husband's prohibition upon her from marrying Yanko? When the second husband dies and he didn't have any relationship to Yanko. But if the second husband was Yanko's brother and he died and didn't leave any kids, then Yanko would remain author, because then the Yanko's relationship is not, I'm not sure exactly why, but Yanko's relationship is not advanced by nature by dint of there being a second marriage, unless the second marriage is one which is not at all concerned with his status. But if it's concerned by his status by virtue of the fact that he's the Yavam in this situation, so then he would continue to be prohibited to this woman. You know, I think I understand why. Now I understand as I'm talking about. Because he holds, and I think there was someone we showed him, one that Perushim is out here. He holds that what determines your status as a Yavam, not the death of your brother, but the marriage of your brother. At the time your brother got married, you were usher because Yanko was the one left out by the clause who remains usher forever and ever. Okay? So even once his brother dies, again, the first husband said, you're mutter to the entire world except for Yanko. Then she got divorced on the bad basis. Then she went to marry Yanko's brother, right? When the brother dies, she can't go and be misabemis to Yanko. Because Yanko, in order to be a legitimate Yavam, had to be suitable to be Yavam at the time of the marriage of his brother to this woman. But he only became suitable, in fact, as Rabbi Yirmiyah says, when his brother died. By that time, it's too late to establish his status as a valid Yavam. Okay? That with the death and divorce linked together, that it makes Yanko permitted this woman. On Isu in law, but not at time marriage, and if you hold that Yavam falls into Sasa Yivam at the time marriage, so that won't work to remit him to be Miyabin. Top of Nun Amrav. Amra basically said, it should be Hechon, Motzina Batorah. Where do we find the Torah? Where do you find that somebody who's permitted to one person is also another person? That which is also to one person is mutter to another person. So, it can't be this way. Rather, also law the mecha, he's attacking Rabbi Lezer. Basically, is one of the people who attack Rabbi Lezer. He says, rather, mutter also lechod also kol adam, if she's permit also to one person, she's also to everybody. Mutal ela, she's permitted to one person, mutal kol adam, she's permitted to everybody as well. That's Rabbi Yosef Lizer, Rabbi Tesha, Rabbi Lozer. Now, Shai Teresitzor brings out Tosefta, Rabbi Lozer ben Azarias' reputation, Rabbi Lozer, which is not in our Gemara. Lozer ben Azarias' reputation is, it says in Tere, Krisus. Get is called the Sefer Krisus. Krisus means severance. There's no severance if she's still permitted to one, if she's still forbidden. By basis of the husband's injunction, she's still forbidden on Yaakov. That's not true Krisus, and therefore the get is now valid get. Okay? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responding like this. Harei shayozen. That's a little bit of a different Gemara girsa. Why? There's something messed up here in the girsa, and everybody tries and changes it, but I don't think they make it any better. Hey, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responding like this against Rabbi Lezer. Harei shayozen shenesser love Cohen. Let's say the husband, before he issued the divorce, said, you're permitted the entire world except for Reuven Cohen. Can't go marry Reuven Cohen. Reuven Cohen's off limits for you, right? Umeisa Magarish, and then the person who divorced died. Lo nimtseis almanolo, ugrusha kohel kohanim. So now it's going to come out a ludicrous thing. What's she going to be? Vis-a-vis every other Cohen, she's going to be a divorcee. Because she was divorced. But vis-a-vis Reuven Cohen, what's she going to be? Once the first husband dies, vis-a-vis Reuven Cohen, what's she going to be? A what? A widow. Again, the first husband said, you're mutter to anybody except for Reuven Cohen, right? So vis-a-vis everybody else in the world, where the divorce is valid and she's a divorcee. Vis-a-vis every Cohen in the world, she's going to be awesome. Vis-a-vis Reuven Cohen, since he retained his status as husband, vis-a-vis Reuven Cohen, she's going to be a widow, because the husband died, first husband, and she should be mutzah to marry Reuven Cohen, which is, I think the fancy English word for that is a tautology, if I'm not mistaken. It's a logical inconsistency. It can't work out, right? So says the Gemara. Now, if the Gemara just stopped there, it'd be fine because we'd understand it. But now the Gemara chooses to explain its quest, Rabbi Akiva's question, and this is where it gets a little bit confusing. Okay? So we understand Rabbi Akiva's question. Now the Gemara is going to explain it and confuse us. Okay? That's our job. Rabbi's job is to confuse people. Remember that. Where's the Torah more severe? Begrusha la'amona, by a divorcee or a widow. Echmira Torah begrusha yesimir amona. Right? Obviously, a Torah, the divorcee is more severe than amona. Amona is only also to what kind of coin? Coin goro. Grusha is also to every coin, right? So, umay grusha chamura, if a grusha, which is more severe, lakol, she's also to everyone, right? Because obviously, grusha's also to the kohanim. Lo nesra mi mashu uterba, mi tagerushin sheba. She does it because, and she, nevertheless, she doesn't become usher to this one kohen. To whom she remained mutter because she was never divorced, because this gerushin, right? Amona kala, but wait a minute. Amona, which is more lenient, when she becomes a amona, ain't no din shete oser. It does not make her oser. Rimash utol mitzad eshetin shibo. It doesn't make her oser, and this is all part of the question, and it's all explained the conundrum. Ain't no din shete oser, she cannot become oser, because even though she remained in Eshetish, but still, right now she's an Amon, and therefore she's Mutter. This is all an explanation of the question, okay? There's something choppy and confusing, but that's basically the explanation. Gerushin doesn't affect Reuven Cohen. Even later when she comes to Amona, it doesn't affect Reuven Cohen. That's the premise. That's more not necessarily true. You know what it says? Afilu etzlo nogabo gerushin. Even vis-a-vis Reuven Cohen, she's still a Megureshes. Not that she's megureshes vis-a-vis him. You're right, she's not a divorcee vis-a-vis Reuven Cohen. But she has the status of megureshes. And therefore, she can't even marry Reuven Cohen. Despite the fact that towards him, she was formerly only an amona. Not a grusha, she still can't marry. Okay? Says the Gemara. Another approach. Now, there's another approach that Rabbi Akiva used to refute Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What's his refutation? Okay, fine. He said, remitted to all individuals, chutz miPlony, except for Yanko. Now she goes and marries Beryl. And she has kids with Beryl. And then Mace. Beryl dies. And then she goes and marries Yanko. Then aren't the kids from Beryl? Even though it says Achron means here not the last one, which is Yanko, but the middle one, which is Beryl. Aren't the kids from Beryl Mamzerim? And that's a conundrum. Because when she lived with Beryl, she was mutter to Beryl. Yet later on, she goes and marries Yanko against the will of her first husband. Since that was a clause in her gerushin is null and void. So you're going to make kids mamzerim after they're born. How can you have such a reality? Either mamzerim when they're born or they're not mamzerim. How can you make mamzerim after birth? Right? So says the Gemara Milsa Amarad, this teaches us. Now, Rabbi, this question Rabbi Akiva teaches us, they obviously disagrees with what Rabbi Yirmiyah said before. Rabbi Yirmiyah said before, on the bottom of Mem Tesem Beis, that when she marries a second husband, and the second husband either dies or divorces, so then the first husband's clause, Chutz Miyanko, falls off. But clearly Rabbi Akiva's reputation of Blazim Ruklus doesn't take that into account. Because he says the refutation of Chutz Miyanko still applies, right? And that's why if she marries Yanko after Beryl, she still, her kids can become, theoretically, she'll become Mamzerim. So it says, or Milsamra, and anyway, this teaches us, She'ain, it should be not just Gerushin, but She'ain Misa V'Gerushin, Matirim Asherasa Asherishon. The death or divorce of the second guy doesn't permit that which the first guy forbade. Period. I'm Rabbi Simi. Rabbi Simi said, Rabbi Simi is going a slightly different angle. He's not asking Rabbi Lezer anymore, but he's asking Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, again, the termination of the second marriage severs the clause which the first husband imposed, chutz mi Yanko, right, to accept Yanko. Rabbi Yirmiyah Simi asked that. I'm Rabbi Simi. Simi said, Matzino Isha, we found a woman. Bitchila initially, well, actually, it's a question. Excuse me, let me intone this properly. Omer Abisim said, Matsinu Isha, that we find a woman. Bitchila initially, take out the word ain, try it third, so it takes it out. Bitchila chayovin alem mishum erva. Initially, there's an elva, because she was also Tianko, because the clause of first husband, Uba Soif, and at the end, put in the word ain from the previous line. Why? How come she was never Tianko after the first marriage terminated? Later on, she doesn't become ever anymore. Where do you find our rights for fall off? Says Gemara, that's not a question. Amar Ramana said, well, I'll give you an analogy. What is this analogous to? Lecho Charmelisha, it's like a guy who told his wife, this is actually a pretty cool case. A guy told his wife, I raise a gita, let's hear get. I'm not sure Tibali Leish Pliny. On the condition, he was a swinger, you know, on the condition that after I divorce you, you go and have relations with my buddy Yanko. Okay? This is the opposite of our Mishnah. And our Mishnah was a Tanai Chutz Mi Yanko. Here it's a Tanai Dafka, you have to go and have relations with Yanko. Okay? So Bitchila, who also Bitchila, now the way the Shai turns it so changed the Kishon said, Bitchila he asura lakol. Initially she's also to everybody, right? And then instead of also livo, but as she says, asura lakol. And then when he has beer with her, she becomes permitted. But the Or Sameach retains the Kishon here. It's interesting. Bitchila who asura livo. It means when Yanko starts having relations with her, he's having relations with an Eishes Ish. Because right now, the Tanai has not yet been fulfilled. When he begins the Bia, she's still an Erva. At the end of the Bia, Ovar Ubal, once he transgresses and completes the Bia, then, at that point, Hutar Aget L'Mafreya becomes again retroactively. So we see here a woman who started out being an Erva, right? Again, he divorced his wife and said, I'm an Asa, you have Bia with your uncle, right? So when Yanku starts the Bia, she's still an Erva. By the time Yanku completes the Bia, she's no longer an Erva because that was the condition was fulfilled. So Sotir can have the same thing. When the first husband says, Chutz mi Yanku, it's an Erva. When then she goes and marries Beryl and then gets divorced or dies from Beryl dies, so then that Erva falls off. It's a very cool analogy. I'm Rabbi Yochanan said, Halacha, Kershim and Elozari. Now this is out of left field. Elozer, Shimon, Elozer, what does Shimon Elozer say? Shimon Elozer says the previous parak. He says that you must tell a woman this is your get. You can't say this is a document, a bill of sale, a loan, a tricker. You got to tell us again. Okay? The Shimon Elozer, my little man, a get that Shimon Elozer, Shas Matona. It's not again until you tell the time you give it to our raising getech, this is your get. Rabbi Yaakov Rachman Shem Biyana said, Af Reach Psul Einbo. That's not clear Rabbi Yaakov Rachman's name Rabbi Yaakov is going on. It's about Chlogis between the Mephorshim here. Some say he's going on a case where you told the woman, this is your bill of loan. And again he gave it to her, and lo and behold, was a get. So Rabbi Yaakov said, it's not even a Reach HaGet. And the Reach HaGet is a get which doesn't actually divorce her, but makes it possible to marry a Kohen subsequently. So it's not even a Reach HaGet. That's why I learned Rabbi Yaakov Bracha. The others learned Rabbi Yaakov Bracha is going back in our Mishnah. And that he is saying that we pass like Rabbanan. That you have to sever all ties. You can't say Chutz Mi Yanku. And he's saying if you said, like Rabbi Lozer holds, Chutz Mi Yanku, then we hold that that's not even a Reacha get. It's not even a partially valid get to Asra the Kuna. It's not even that. Okay? And the next one also, till the Mishnah will be explained differently depending on which pshat of the two pshat I just gave you, you hold. But I'm going to change the gears to the next one like the Shai Teres Eretz Yisrael does. But explain with both ways according to the change. Kahana Mark, Rav Kahana said, Zosa Maris, this teaches us, take out the word lo, choshu. Our Mishnah tells us that our Mishnah tells us that they made, that there is a problem of Reach HaGet, right? Even if you said Chutz Mi Ploini, right? And how so? Because Zizmeres Choshu, because in Tamar, if you're going to say Lo Choshu, again throwing in, that they were not, they didn't suspect Reach HaGet, so Achu Biyoda, while still in his hands, Yomer Lo Are Muter Schoda. Let him say to her, it says Domer, but it should say Yomer. Let it say Are Muter Schoda. In other words, in our Mishnah it says, take the get back and do it over again, right? It says, take the get back. If you said, Chutz Mi Ploini, go to Rabbanan, take the get back and over again, right? It says, so that must mean that there is a concept of Reach HaGet. Because if there was no concept of Reach HaGet, let it just say there ain't no get. Why does it take it back, give it over again, say it's not a valid get? It must be, it is a little bit of a get. And then we say, don't assume it's not a get at all. Just do it over again, right? Again, there's no Reach HaGet, and we'll just say, ain't no get. So it says, take it back and do it over again. It must be that to a certain extent, it's a get. To what extent? To the extent that it's a Reach HaGet possible. Rabbi Yaakov said the exact opposite. Zosa Meres, our mission teaches Shalom Choshu. That they were not concerned with the Reach HaGet. Because in Tamar, you're going to say Choshu, that if they were concerned with the Reach HaGet, then Koma should be Yodel Garish Garish. Very interesting, Lom de Shesvara. If you're going to say create a Reach HaGet, then this get is used up. You can't use it a second time. A get which had a ramification that a maid re'ach haget cannot be used again as a valid get. Amazing svara. I mean, it only works kurdish aritan so kirsa, but I like it. Again, in Tamar, if you're going to say choshu, then koma should be yodel garish yigarish. For the fact that you can take it back and give it again, it must be that the first time around it wasn't even reach again, and that's why the get can be used again, just with the proper framework. In other words, not without saying chutz miyanko. Now, this whole thing which I just read you of Rav Kahan and Rabbi Acha can also be read if you're assuming that this is going back around Shim ben Elozer and not our Mishnah. It read like this: Kahan Omer Zosa Meres Choshu. I'll prove to you that we are of that we are considered Reach again, even if you didn't say the right thing. Because he tamer choshu, and Torah Logos, you're going to say they're not afraid of wrong, that they don't make a reach again where there's a wrong amira. So then, achu biyoda, that as long as it's in their hands, yom aleremu teres chodam. You should just say to her, haremu teres chodam. In other words, in the, no, actually, I'm not sure if it's going to work out this way. One second. No, it works out. Works out like this. Since our Mishnah required them to give the get over again, and it didn't say eino get, so it must be that there is reach again, even if you said the wrong thing. Because in essence, our Mishnah, where it says that you said to her, Aremetes Chol Mechutzi Plain, is like saying, Kinsi Shtar Chov Zeh, the wrong Amira. And nevertheless, it says in our Mishnah, you have to give it over again. Just give it the right Amira the second time. Doesn't say eino get. From this we see that, in fact, our Mishnah seems not to hold the Shem Elozer, seems to hold that there is Reach HaGet. And that's why, even though you gave it the wrong Amira, you have to give it again. We don't just say eino get altogether. And vice versa, Rav Acha says, those Meres Shelo Choshu. On the contrary, our Mishnah indicates that it's not, there is no problem Reach HaGet, because in Temer Choshu, if there would be a problem, of if there is a Chashash of Reach HaGet, everything which he could have done with this get has been done. In other words, if it does create Reach HaGet, even if you use the wrong Amir, then it already created Reach HaGet. So therefore, by virtue of the fact that it says you can use it over again, it must be there's no Reach HaGet, even if you had the wrong Amir. So now that I've confused you all together, right, that's a Shai Torah Yisrael's Kiddush. I don't know if he's right about that. I'm assuming that he's correct. You're right. Yeah. But the truth is, even if it's not really his Kiddush, so it's really what the Gemara is saying. No matter how you read though the previous lines, that's what that line is saying. That's Rusham is Kiddush. A get gets used up. Right? It's like has limited battery power. That's exactly what it's saying. Right. Yeah. It is a Kiddush. That's what Rusham is saying. I'm Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira said, Tani Shila Barbina. Shila Barbina said, Ko She'ilu, which should be Kosvo, Amanaz Posul. Anytime, if you write a condition to get it, rends the apostle, even if you didn't write it in, but verbally made that declaration, even if you gave it on that basis, that suffices to make the get apostle. It doesn't matter if it's written or stated, no matter what it apostles the get. Okay, says the mission further. However, in contradistinction to the previous Mishnah, if you're mutter to everybody except for people you're also to anyway, your father, my father, L'achai l'achich, my brother, your brother, l'aved to a slave, l'akum to a goy, chomishen lo kiddushin, o love, to anybody to whom she couldn't get married anyway, kosher the get, it's kosher regardless. Harein mutez chodom el, however, if he said to harein mutez chodom, you're permitted to everybody, ella, except as an amona l'koin goro, as a grusha chalutzu koin edil, as a mamzeres in the sina to Yisrael, as a baz Yisrael to nasin mamzer l'nasin, ulchomishiyesh lo kiddushin, to anybody to whom kiddushin could be contracted, afil b'avera, even though it requires an avera to contract such a kiddushin, if he made such a stipulation, possible, because that's like chutz miyanko. Despite the fact that kiddushin could only be affected through an avera, it's still considered to be a limitation in the get, and limitation in the get, again, according to Rabbanan, apostles get all together. Guvo Shaget, essence, thank you. The essence of the get is Arei Muter Sucholodim. That language, we saw earlier in the Masechta, if you wrote that, just that alone, that would work d'oraisa. You're admitted to anybody. Rabbi Yehuda says we add the following, and we do write this into our Gittin. The Dain and this, the Evi L'chaminoi, should be you two for me. Sefer Diuch in a book of a banishment, Miger Shvukim, and a letter of relinquishment. L'ma'ach for you to go, least Nasva, to marry L'chol Gvar, any man, Deiti Tzvayon, that you desire. Guvo Shoget Shichor, the essence of a release of a slave is Arayat Bar Chorin, you are a free man, Arayat Bar, you are to yourself. Rabbi Achamar Krisus, it says Krisus in the Torah, right? That's what defines again. Well, lo, peace, our Torah, Shem, Krisus, the language of Krisus is only considered to be essential, Elo, only, should be Al, on an Erev HaShesh Barvaya. In other words, it has to be that you can marry anybody you want to marry, even if their marriage is forbidden. But it's only, but an Erev where no marriage can be contracted regardless, so the fact that you exclude it from a get, that's not a limitation in the power of the get. I want to say, Ubilbochudlo Yen Marvadain.
That get only works where.
Right. Right. There's no get. There's a place where Kiddush can't be typhus. That's right. You shouldn't write, now it says that lo yemar means you shouldn't write the dain. When we write, this is also in fact in the ksuva. In the ksuva, there's a line where it says, the dain, the heavy, how's it go? The dain, the dunya, nitunya, dan hola slaymi be'avua. And that dain, we write dalad nun, not dalad yud nun. Even though it's pronounced dain, which really should be spelled with a yud. So, but the reason I write Vidain without the yud is because otherwise it looked like Vidin. And Vidin would have all sorts of negative ramifications, particularly by a get. By Ksuv, it's not so good for him. But by get, it would sound like Vidain. Vidin Yavil Chominoi means if by law this is your get. Meaning, which would infer that if the law is not that I should divorce you, it's not a valid get. So it almost looked like a clause in the get. So that's instead of writing Vidain with a yud, we write Vidain without a yud. And the Gemara doesn't answer, but the process is that it doesn't work. Because you're in your own jurisdiction is not a language of release. It just means you're in charge of yourself. All right, Rabbi Yossi Rabun says, in fact, first, you may have to write or say, Hariat Bat Chorin, Ben Chorin, you're a free man, like it says in our Mishnah, or Hariat Shelat. You belong to yourself. Our Mishnah said, Leat Smicha, to yourself. But that's not good enough, because that's too ambiguous. That's say, Shelat Smicha. You belong to yourself. The Rambam, in fact, baskets like this Yushalmi, that you have to write Shelat Smicha. Masisa Yamarkin, there's a brisa that says this Hareat Bat Chorin, or maybe this Yushalmi's gives us in our Mishnah. Hareat Ben Chorin, Hareat Shelat Smicha. So you have to write shel, not le'atzmecha, but shel atzmecha. Okay, next Mishnah, Halacha Gimel. Shlosha Ginnim Psulim, the three Ginnim with their apostle. Vim Nises, however, if she got married on the basis of Vladis Kosher. So the rabbis apostle these Ginnim, but Midoraisa, they're good there, but she got married on the basis, the rabbis said the kids are not Mamzerim. What are they? Kosev Ksaviyot, if you wrote the get in your own handwriting. The husband, Vein love aim, there are no witnesses. Or Yesh love aim, there are witnesses upon it. Vein Bosman, but it doesn't have a date in it. Or Yesh Bosman has a date, Vein love Eid Echad, but only has one witness, not two. But it's written in the handwriting of the husband. Elu Shlosha Ginnim Psulim, these three Ginnim are apostle. However, Bimnisis, if she got married on their basis, Havlad Kosher. The kid is kosher. Okay, now, the beginning of the Gemara on Daf Nav and Rav has totally nothing to do with our Sugi and Gittin. It just got thrown in somehow from the Mishnah and Yevamos. And they had something about what's considered to be a Suffolk Gerushin or a Suffolk Kiddushin. So they're talking about a case where you threw Gerushin, you threw the Getter, Suffolk Koravlo, Suffolk Koravla, well, actually, that's the case that Gemara is going to bring up. But they're talking about the kings in some cases Kedushim Suffolk Gerushin, and the one says Leiskan Suffolk Gerushin El Gerushin Mamish. That's not a Suffolk Gerushin, that's Mamish Gerushin. Whatever the case is there, we're not. It's not our case. But Kates of Suffolk Kedushin. And then one of their continues, what is a Suffolk Kedushin? Kaitita, like we learned over there, Zorakla Kedushin, if you threw your Kedushin to your wife, you threw her the ring, you really liked her. Safi Karav La, Safi Karav Lo, you don't have land closer to her or closer to him, Zeu Safi Kiddushin. That's a Safi Kiddushin. V'achun Tzotu Baget, Zorak Logidi, you toss her again, Safi Karav Lo, Safi Karav Lo, you don't know where it landed, Zeu Safi Gerushin. All of that is not Shaykh Tarasugya. There's no reason why it's here, we don't know. Now we go back to Tarasugya. Okay? Pesaz Marv Kulon Imises. Our mission is, I skipped, sorry. Rabbi Yochanan Mishael Chlaf, the Dereen Hava. Rabbi Yochanan said, name Rabbi Chlaf, who came from the town of Hava, who called him, he said, hey, say. In our mission, it said, if she has kids, then the kids are okay. Even though these three are absolute. She's Rabbi Yochanan adds on, if she already got married to a second guy, she doesn't get divorced. Even though she doesn't have kids yet. But Shlomo leaves up on an order that she doesn't want to do have kids, and because she might have kids, in order not to create rumors, so once she's married, Nisuin, she doesn't have to get divorced and leave the second husband, despite the fact that her get was gay, which didn't have Adim, or didn't have Zman, or one of the other Psalm in our Mishnah, it only had one eight. Okay? However, it's not that easy. Says the Gemara, Bito, if your daughter was married to your brother, okay? Your brother is married to your brother. Shanitza Zerushuba gets, and your brother divorced her with such a get, one of these get them suing. And she married out, and then your brother died without any kids. Lotate says she too should not leave her second husband. Why? Kadeli Zaki Taras Lavia. In order that the co-wife, who's not your daughter, that you should be able to do Yibum to her. Because if you took the daughter out of her second marriage and brought her back and said, well, you were never really divorced, then there would be Tzara Sarva situation here. And the question would be Misya Bemis. So therefore, we let her be married to the second guy in order that Yibum could occur. So far, so good. However, this is the catch. Tzarasa. Let's say your daughter, again, your brother had two wives. One was your daughter and one was a full stranger. Your daughter was divorced and married Lashuk, right? Then the Tzara got divorced and got married to Shuk, right? The Tzara, the co-wife, got divorced, got married Lashuk. In that case, the Tzara's got to get divorced from her current husband, and she can't undergo Yibum.
because the get is good to rice, so she has to undergo chalitza. There we were not meiko. If the tzara got remarried Lashuk, we make her get, assuming she had no kids yet. In that case, we make her get divorced and undergo chalitza from you. Okay? So that's a unique case in which we're more machmir. Okay? Says the Gemara, Bito Shenisei Slachi. A case where your daughter was initially married to somebody else, and this somebody else gave her a get, which was one of the bad get in our Mishnah. Then your daughter married your brother, and your brother has a co-wife. It's an Amish Yavama's case, right? It's a Yavama's case. Okay, your daughter's married somebody else. Okay, one of the get in Psulim. And then your daughter married your brother, who had a co-wife, and then your brother died, right? Even vis-a-vis your father, she doesn't get divorced. In other words, in order to allow the co-wife to be misabemes, there's no divorce takes place. She doesn't go back to the original husband, and therefore only chalitza can be done and not yibum. Okay. Says more further. Tani, shlosh shtar, so what if you have the three cases of Mishnah? That means a get which has no zman, is written in a man by your handwriting but without edim, or it has no date, or it has only one edim. What if these are legal documents, not getting, they're regular monetary documents? They collect from free and clear property, but they're not going to be strong enough documents to collect from property which had been sold to somebody else. Rabbi Barabba said, that's true, when the malve does not have the shtar fortified in his hands, which means that we don't know for sure that this is the handwriting of the borrower. But once we know that, there's a whole line missing here. It should be, the coordinator puts in, if it's been sustained that this IOU was written by the borrower, then they collect even from the Chasim Meshubadim. I'm still reading from what's not in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi asks, if it's talking about a case where we don't know the handwriting of the borrower, then, back to the Gemara's second wide line at the end, how can you even collect from free and clear property? Maybe the whole thing is a fraud. Obviously you have to know it's the guy's handwriting, right? Rather, when it says for free and clear property, that's even where the shtar was verified and certified to be in the handwriting of the borrower. Why can't you collect from, in that case, from the chasim mishubadim, even for property which has been sold? So machlokas. Rabbi Bista said, because maybe the fact that there's no edim means they're in cahoots here. The borrower and lender produced a bogus shtar to go collect back property which the borrower had sold. So since we're afraid of a plot, so therefore we don't allow them to collect from the chasim shubadim. Rabbi said, not even because of that. Rabbi Bista, because it doesn't meet the parameters Chachamim gave. Come set parameters, I need Adam. No Adam, it's possible. It's a technicality. No suspicion of goods necessarily. Hey, see Rabbi Avin asked a question. Where could I be assumed that there's goods? When a father borrowed money, the shebed, and a lien was placed by, it should be said of a zokin, they changed the gears here to a nochri. And a third guy has the property who's not related, right? And therefore, we're afraid we want to take property from a stranger, should be nochri, who and maybe that's cahoots and a plot. However, Lava Zakim, an old man, borrowed. The Shimon Abed, and now he died, and the property is in the hands of his son. So then, what's the plot here? There's no plot. Obviously, the old man who died wasn't plotting against his son. He's dead anyway now, right? Rather, even a case where there is clearly no chashash of a plot and no cahoots, because we know it's the father and son. The father was the one who wrote the document. The son is now the one for whom they're collecting. In that case, it's still possible, if there's no edim, to collect from the chasim b'shubadim. Why? Because it doesn't meet the technical parameters of chachamim required. Hey, Sivra, and similarly. Hey, Siv Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Avin asks a question. Says about Tani Abigite Noshim. Says Bagite Noshim, even though it's written in the handwriting of the husband, it's possible to apostle Rabban, right? He's from the name of Nikluya. What, there's any plot or cahoots by a husband? Lo Ibnesh Psul. No, it's not because of technicality. So too, by anything which is written in handwriting, the reason why it doesn't claim from the Chatzim Shabbatim is because of a technicality. Okay? Rabbi Yom Shem Rabbi Yonai said, V'kulam b'ksav yadayim. All of the Gittin or Mishra, sorry, by the way, they're written in by the husband himself. Rabbi Lezer said, wait a minute, why? In the second case, at least, where it doesn't have a date, Eidim Yeshkan, b'ksav yadayim ha'itzach. It doesn't have a date, but it's got witnesses. Why do you have need his own handwriting? Rabbi Yirmiyav and Rabbi Yirmishem Rav Taka said, Bekulim Ksav Yadim. So in the first and third cases, first case there's no Eidim, and last case there's only one Eid, then it's in his own handwriting. Kutzim Shev Yirmiyav, but not the middle case, which has Eidim but no Zman. But Ravim Nuna, and that's what the Bavli says. But the Yushalmi gives a different answer. Rav Nuna's answer argues. Rav Nuna, no! In a case where it has no Zman, even though it has Eidim, if it's not written in the husband's own handwriting, we don't accept the get. You know why? Because these Eidim are not trustworthy. These Eidim, Chorveyon Argameo, their sin is on their bones. The Inu Shekibla Aleim L'Shaker, they're liars. Lachton Beger Chain Bozman. So if it wasn't in the handwriting of the husband, we talk wouldn't accept the middle case in our Mishnah as well. It's amazing Chiddush. So the fact that Adam signed on in Shtar without Zman is in and of itself a reason to postulate Adam. Because Adam have to check out the Shtar and make sure it's written out properly before they sign it. It's amazing concept. Again, the Bavli has no such thing. Bavli holds it's an honest mistake, but Yushan, Rabbi Nuna's answer says, no, talk about it again. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll finish that.